The indie farming hit Stardew Valley, where stylish pixel graphics will hook you as you build your perfect farm, is just one of the excellent titles available to play now on Apple Arcade. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. This offer is for new subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.
It just like takes over your mind in like the sickest way possible.
Like, I can feel myself literally like starting to blush now thinking about it, and I'm like, oh my god, it's fine, it's not real. Ugh.
And then he asks you what pajamas you wear, and I'm like, Grim, I'm a 29-year-old woman, I don't want to answer this question.
I mean, this game made somebody bark into their keyboard. That's all you need to know, really.
Sifter.com.au.
Hey, and welcome to Drop Rate by Sifter. Drop Rate is Sifter's review podcast packed with thoughts and feelings about the newest video games, and you get insights from some of the best games writers around. My name is Courtney Smith, and joining me on the panel this week is Steph Panicasio. So this week, Steph and I are going to be talking about A Date with Death, which is a supernatural romance chat simulator visual novel by Australian indie developer 2.5 Studios, who are actually from Tasmania. Before we get into it, let's find out what's been making the news this week with the top stories on Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly news podcast.
Hi, I'm Kyle Paletto.
And I'm Fiona Bartholomaeus.
And here are the top stories this week on Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly news podcast for Sunday, 24th of November.
The nominees for the Game Awards are here, and people have feelings about them, of course.
Sony could end up buying From Software owner Kadokawa, at least that's what they hope.
We get a few more tidbits about Control 2, which focuses on action and role-playing.
And Back 4 Blood 2 could be for you as development leaks.
You can get every episode of Walkthrough for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or on our website sifter.com.au every Sunday.
Join the Sifter community on Discord at sifter.com.au/Discord.
Steph, please tell me, what is A Date with Death?
It is the best 6 hours that I've spent in the last year.
Actually.
Genuinely. I mean, it came out a while back, and I completely missed it. But yeah, it's a romance visual novel. It's freeware. It is probably the most realistic text-based flirt simulator that I have played in a really long time, because I'm like, yeah, I would actually say that, because I mean, the entire dynamic is just exactly the way that I flirt, to a degree where I was like, oh, maybe I need to unpack some things because I was playing this game. It's that good.
It's very like sarcastic. Like, your player character in the game is very like, oh, you think you're cool. It's like, actually, you're shaking in your little boots, but on the outside, you've got to be cool and collected.
Yeah.
So in a nutshell, A Date with Death is about romancing A Grim Reaper while he tries to take your soul. Hot, kinky. Just a heads up that this is going to be a pretty spoiler heavy chat, so if you're yet to make a deal with a certain white-haired Grim Reaper, come back when you have and thank us for it.
You will be welcome, honestly. The amount of times I just some like meta talk here, but the amount of times that Courtney, you specifically were like, you have to play this game. I need you to play this game because I need somebody to talk to about it. I was like, yeah, okay, it'll be fine. I'm changed.
Yep. Like, I'll do anything. Yeah. So the whole game itself, it's really short. I'd say 3 hours is about my guesstimate. If you skip the mini games and
Which
the extras,
you shouldn't,
because they're really fun, and we're going to talk about it. But So 3 hours if you skip that. I reckon 4 hours if you add those in.
I think if you did every single possible thing over the course of the game, it would be able to stretch to probably about 6 to maybe 7. I'm a completionist, so I just did every single possible thing and it took me about 5.5 hours.
Yeah. There aren't that many Steam achievements either. Like, you can definitely like get through them all in under 10 hours.
Maybe 15 off the top of my head. And I mean, I wanted them. I wanted them real bad. So I was doing every single thing.
Yeah. So, because I played through all of the good endings. So I've logged about 8 hours so far. And I say so far because I want to get all the endings, but I'm terrified of making my baby girl scared.
That's so valid.
Did you play the bad endings?
I haven't fully finished the bad endings. So I played through, I think, the same ending that you did for my first run, which is the arguably best ending, where you end up, you know, fully experiencing the depth of your love. That sounds like it's sexual. I don't mean it in that kind of way. Like, you're not getting that. You know, not one of those games. There are people that want it to be one of those games, but that's not the point. But I started doing a playthrough where I was not mean flirtatiously, but like mean. And then I just felt so incredibly guilty that I had to just take a step back and be like, you know what? I don't think that I can do this. It's like playing through like Mass Effect and choosing renegade options. I just feel bad. I feel guilty for being mean to people.
I think as well, because when the game starts, right, like basically it starts as like this like malware is installed on your computer. What you think is malware. And the Grim Reaper starts talking to you. And I was really trying to play it as though it was the Grim Reaper talking to me. And I was like, oh, what a cringe loser. And then it's like Squidward, oh no, he's hot. Literally.
Yes. I mean, I am the sort of person that gravitates to death content, even if it's not like romancy. That's like just my whole shtick. I care about that kind of thing. So I had this game downloaded for the longest time just because it had death in the title, genuinely. And I didn't realize how much I was missing by literally wooing the Grim Reaper. Because, I mean, there's The Sims for that to a degree, but, I mean, this is next level. And I think the concept of being one of many Grim Reapers makes it feel like there's an edge to it that's different, and you can be slightly less concerned about getting with the one person that's killing off literally everyone in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, like less of the, I guess, like pick me, like he's the one guy. I think if it's like one Grim Reaper, it's very like your name, right? Like,
yes.
YN fanfic,
yes,
territory. But because it's like multiple, then I think it, yeah, takes off that edge of it being a bit cringe.
It really does. And I think because of the tropes that the game employs as well, being very similar to a lot of my favorite fanfiction tropes, I think it really kind of resonated with me for that, because obviously like when you're with a Grim Reaper, there's an element of like the whole enemies to lovers thing. He wants to steal your soul. You've got a soul that you want to keep, but you also kind of want to make things happen with him. I mean, there's that kind of interesting dynamic. And then there's also like the grumpy sunshine kind of element of it, which is relevant later, to be clear as well. But yeah, I feel like, despite not having done a lot of like real looking into visual novels lately, for me at least anyway, because I've had so many other games on my plate, this kind of reinvigorated my love of visual novels. And now I'm like, oh, I want to flirt with everybody in visual novel form forever.
I think there's something to be said for, I guess, the rise of the visual novel again, because they're already really popular in Japan, and even in Korea and China. I know they're quite popular across Asian countries, but I find maybe especially Australia, they're not as popular because, I guess, of the way our population games. Like, you know, I feel like we're very competitive as gamers. So I think the rise of book talk specifically and romance novels, and in a way, like women's sexuality becoming more normalized, I think visual novels have more room to breathe in that space.
Definitely. And I think as well, with a game of this length, it really lends itself to that, because on the one hand, we're all very time poor, and being able to just spend like maximum 5.5-6 hours playing a game like this gives you that real dopamine rush without having to invest a huge amount of time. Because I feel like, yes, we're all very competitive, but we also, I mean, the expansive open world RPGs that we've been seeing over the past 5-10 years, like, these are things that are so all encompassing that if you're going to be playing them, you're going to be playing them for a long time. And I have the same kind of feeling with those games that I do with some of my like thicker books, where it's like, if I start this, this is going to consume me for goodness knows how long, because I'm not somebody that can just drop off and then come back on. I'm all in all the time as soon as I start. And I think by having this be that kind of like little snippet, and by having visual novels typically be that shorter length, that more bite-sized, digestible type of game, it's really kind of come up again lately. As you said, like, we're time poor, it's a cost of living crisis, we've got all of these things kind of factoring in. It's the rise of the visual novel, really.
I also think it's interesting that this game specifically is a chat sim with a single character to romance, because every other visual novel slash dating sim slash chat sim that I've played has always had this huge cast of characters. And to see something with just one character, I'm like, I'm kind of shocked that they've made so many people fall in love with this one guy.
I think it's interesting that so many people with very different tastes have had that kind of same experience. I mean, you and I have spoken extensively about the ways that our taste is similar and also very different in many ways. And I think there are people that I know have the complete opposite to me in terms of what they would go for in a romance partner. And yet they're still kicking their feet and blushing over romancing this Grim Reaper. And it's interesting that they've been able to kind of make that work with just that one option, even though he's not necessarily aesthetically what people might be going for. I think because the dialogue, it really just, it hits in a way that feels a lot more universal. And I mean, it's hard to say no to a flirt simulator at the best of times for me. But when it's done this well, I'm like, I'm not mad that there aren't options. I think maybe this is a controversial take, but when it comes to like love triangles and things like that in most fiction, I think you either have to do it really, really well or it's not worth it. So I would rather have like a group of people that you can kind of pick and choose between, like companion characters in Baldur's Gate, for instance, being able to choose through all of them, or the one option like with this. I think it works really, really well. And I mean, you just get to spend time with the one person that you're flirting with. And honestly, when you're in like the first start of having crushes on someone and flirting with them, that's exactly what you want to be doing anyway. All you want to do is like spend all of your time flirting and chatting with this person. And I think especially because in the modern age, we're all doing that via chat anyway, it just feels really legit in that kind of sense.
I think so. I think there's this real, I guess, kind of sneaky or cheeky advantage to chat sims that I guess traditional like world-based visual novels don't really have, because it is, you know, if you're on your phone or you're on your computer and it looks like a chat messaging app, right? So it's like it feels really, really real. And it's, you know, you're not being told, okay, so you step into this world and this is what it looks like and these are the sounds and these are the smells. No, it's just a chat box, just a messaging app. And I think it's really, really clever, and I think a really effective way to get across a story and evoke these emotions without forcing the player or the reader to have to work too hard for it.
Definitely. And I think, like, going back to what you said before about book talk, magical realism in that kind of, like, this feels real but there's that element of the supernatural, that is so popular right now that I'm glad kind of that I found this game now. Well, obviously it would have been great if I discovered it when it came out last year. Don't get me wrong. I could have been flirting with Grim the entire time, but it feels like it really kind of sits in the moment playing it now. And I think the DLC is coming at a really, really good time for that reason as well. I love magical realism in that way, specifically in visual novels. If I'm reading magical realism in a book and I'm like, okay, so there's like magic and it's New York 2020. I'm like, that's not for me. But this I'm here for this.
I think as well, because you're not really, like, your character, your OC. So when you start the big, like, the game at the very beginning and you make your character, like, you can make, you know, like yourself, you can make some. I made a femme version of Gojo Satoru from Jujutsu Kaisen. So you come into this game, and the first thing you do is you make your character, and you can make whether it's yourself or the person you want to be. Or like me, I made Gojo from Jujutsu Kaisen, gender bent.
Of course you did.
Because I'm sick of in the course. Head for my second playthrough. But I think, like, it starts off with this, so it's already the player is like front of mind, right? And then you go, the next part is your bedroom. You like make your ideal bedroom, which is like really cute. And then you never actually see the outside world, which I really like. I like that every day you go to work, but all it is like, oh, a piano almost fell on my head, or like, oh, I almost got hit by a car. Like, bad incidents are happening to your character, but you never see them happening. It's just a black screen in text. Then you get back to your room and that's your environment, right? And I think it's really comfy in a way and really, like, grounding. And you have the option to, you know, eavesdrop on your neighbors or read a book or water your plant or pat your pet. But, you know, as soon as you click on that computer, like, that's like, you get excited because you know, and that is the most familiar thing.
I think it's really good that it's that kind of scope, because I think by narrowing down the focus that much and really making it very clear that the entire function here is that you are here, you're just here to flirt, but you can have this kind of space as well. I think it's good because if it was always just in that like chat window, there's no real space to kind of take a step back and like take in what you've just had as dialogue, because some of the conversations that you have are really like genuinely quite interesting aside from the flirting. And I think by giving those sorts of periods of high and low interactivity where the window is closed, it's very clear that, okay, the flirting is done for now. I'm just, like, the whole point of the bedroom is to have a zen space. It is not like you're saying, oh, this bedroom's like a hub of activity or anything. The most you can do, as you said, is like pat your pet. I chose a snake, which I thought was great. Very, very big fan. I named it Trinket, and you can pat and like interact with your pets. That's the extent of the activity realistically that you have in that bedroom. It is meant to be that kind of break. And I think that works really, really well. Because maybe I'm a bad example of this, because if I'm chatting with somebody online, I'll chat until I don't want to chat anymore. And then I will immediately go and like, I call it my TikTok tummy time, where I will lie on the bed on my stomach and just like scroll through for a good like 40 minutes. And then I'm like, okay, I'm zen. I can go back out and do things again. And so this kind of felt like that TikTok tummy time equivalent of having that space that you can move into as well.
Yeah, like it makes the, because we skip the work day, right? Like your character goes to work and you skip it. And I like that there's no stress, right? It's just, you just play the fun parts. Like you really are like getting home from work and coming into your room and turning on your computer and opening up A Date with Death and romancing the Grim Reaper. It's real life. It's what actually happens.
It really is.
And I really appreciate that. I really appreciate the simplicity, because I've played, I wouldn't say a lot of visual novels, but I played quite a few, especially mobile ones. And in most of those, there's a lot going on, right? It's like there are like seven guys to romance, and they're all like messaging you like super needy. But it's not until you like log into your computer that you even know that Grimm's there, like messaging you or wanting to call you.
Totally. And I think maybe this is also just like my ADHD brain, but I really enjoy that I just have one thing to focus on. I can really like hone in on I'm having this conversation. And sure, there are like other little apps and games that you can use on the computer, but they're like very, very small distractions. They're not really things that would take up a huge amount of time. But when I'm in that chat simulator with Grimm, that is all I have to care about. And I'm not saying that it became a hyper focus, but I'm saying it was very helpful for me on focusing. And I did for 5.5 hours straight.
Here's the thing. I will say those mini games were good. I love doing a little Wordle every day and I always got it in the end. I never failed at once.
Me too. I also, just generally popping in to like change your background on your computer or every day you unlock a little sketch or a little image that's kind of just essentially BTS content for the game's creation. And it's fantastic to have that kind of like little gift every time that you finish a game as well, because I have something else to look forward to opening up that laptop. And I think that works really, really well in like giving you options if you want to kind of spend a little bit more time and you're not just diving straight into the flirting all of the time, which can't relate, but good for you, I guess.
I think it was good. Like, so I played this game on stream, which I enjoyed a lot. I enjoyed seeing my chat turn into mush. But also, in a way, I'm like, I wish I had the moment for myself because it's just the one character. So it did get really personal, I think. But then, like, every day cycle, I guess, chat would be like, quick, Quoni, look at the pictures we have to see. And when we had the vampire picture of him and they had the Baldur's Gate reference specifically to Astarion, I was like, 2.5 studios, please get out of my brain.
Mm-hmm.
It was so well done. I was like, I can't.
I know that we've joked about the whole, like, I was kicking my feet and giggling and all of that. I was. Like, I say it ironically, but I also, there was a specific moment and it was the sunshine moment. I'm not going to lie. So essentially, this is the first of, like, the bigger spoilers for the actual, like, flirting side of things, but you got to give him a nickname, right? And he's got to give you a nickname and he starts calling you Sunshine. And when he started calling me Sunshine, I genuinely, like, it was like midnight at this point in time. And I was trying so hard to be quiet in my house and he did that. And I, like, it was an unholy noise that came out of my mouth being like, oh, genuinely like, oh.
I lost my freaking, I was reading this dialogue out loud on stream. I was like, Sunshine. Like, I was like, I need a break.
I mean, I'm a sucker for a nickname anyway. Like, in general flirting, you give me a nickname and I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. It's fine. It's chill. I'm so chill. But because of the way that it kind of comes about in this context as well, and the fact that he is like this, you make fun of him for being this like broody, dark, I'm a grim reaper, I'm so edgy, I'm so like dark in the soul, and I'm gonna capture your soul. And like, you make fun of that. So for him to then turn around and be like, you though, you're sunshine, I'm like, I can feel myself literally like starting to blush now thinking about it. And I'm like, oh my God, it's fine. It's not real. Ugh.
But literally the way he's written as well, this is like harking back to what you were saying about people different tastes still enjoying Grimm as a character. Because even though I feel like if someone said that to me in real life, I'd be like, oh, cringe. But as soon as Grimm said it, I was like, yep, that's me. I'm Sunshine.
I guess that's me forever now, and I'm going to hold on to this for the rest of my life. It's fine. There is definitely a factor where a lot of the people that I know who have played the game and are also single have been like, it's kind of been the flirting that they've needed because they're not getting it from the people that they're dating. And I think it's so interesting how well the studio has nailed that kind of like, just it's the peak of first crush interaction. And it just brings you right into that mindset so quickly. And the having of like the nicknames really sells it because it's just a way of locking in that kind of level of intimacy. Because when it is just that one person and it is a short, considerable to other games length of a game, you really kind of have to be able to pace that intimacy development over the course of the game well. And I've definitely played games where it's like all of a sudden we're in love and it's 30 seconds in. And it's like, well, no, I need to have some kind of growth and I need to have some kind of resistance. And like, it's just too easy otherwise. This doesn't give you that though.
Yeah, it really captures that essence, right? Of like you said, like the first crush, like before anything happens, but when people are feeling some kind of way, and it's a really nice feeling. Like, it's a nice feeling to have. And, you know, like, I wouldn't trade my husband for anything in the world, but, you know, that feeling of like, you know, even when we first met is really, really lovely. Like, it is the butterflies, right?
It is. And like, technically speaking, you say you wouldn't trade him for anything in the world. Grim Reaper, technically not of this world. Just putting that out there. Don't get me wrong, love Dan, but also.
It's true. You do make a fair point. I actually also want to talk about Grimm's personality and his bedroom because so it always starts off, you're just texting him, right? But he at first always calls you. And whenever the call comes in, you're like, he's calling me.
Yeah, you get like a full flutter of like, oh, okay. And honestly, it was so embarrassing because I was so sleep deprived when I was playing this that I genuinely had the thought of like, do I look okay? Oh no, this isn't real.
It's real for us. And
it's
that's
real
all that
in a way, just not that way. But I think because I'm so used to being like, oh my god, someone's like FaceTiming me. What? Why? That I immediately had that kind of, I suppose, millennial reaction of like, ugh.
The fact that he like calls you because like obviously he can't like get his message through text, right? He's like, I'll just call. And like he, you know, he pops on screen and he's like, zoom in there, please, Mitch.
He's very like, he's so clearly trying to be casual, but in like a real like, that exact kind of like, I'm edgy, but I'm really not kind of way that we were just saying is like that pose that you struck before of like, yeah, I'm like this all the time. This is how I sit forever when I'm on my own, just doing things at the computer. It's normal for me, actually. It's like, no, it's not. And I can see that it's not.
He doesn't even wear his jacket properly. Mm-hmm. It's like hanging off his shoulders. And then so basically you see him in his room and it's got like red lights because he's edgy and a grim reaper and like posters and books and then his scythe like propped up against the wall. I think all of these little things really kind of add to this like storytelling and world building, which is great. But there is a moment where he calls you and there's a plushie on his bed.
I loved that so much. Like, God.
The fact that it's a little pink axolotl plushie with like a smiley face, like a ditto smiley face.
Which is arguably the best kind for a plushie, if I can just as an aside say, if it looks a little derpy, I love it more.
100%. And so like, he's got this plushie and he's like, oh God, they've seen the plushie. They know that I have a soft spot, even though we already knew.
Not subtle.
And then he's like, yeah, it already has a name. It's Azrael. I was like, of course, you little edgelord.
it's so funny because I've known so many people who have that kind of dynamic of like, yeah, I'm goth and I'm really edgy, and actually like my screen name is XX Broken Dreams XX, which is actually from like a Dimension 20 thing now that I realize that I'm saying that out loud. Not the point. But like they have those kind of like MySpace, like edgelord names when they had MSN. And then in actuality, you go to their house and their room is like, it's full pink and there's all of these plushies and they just like to flutter around. And it's like, you don't have to hide that side of you. I love all of you, Grim. I want the plushy side of you and also the cool edgelords. Anyway, it's not the point.
I was also very excited to hear about his pajamas.
Yes.
When your player asks him, so like, do you sleep with Azrael? And he's like, yeah. And then your player's like, oh, do you wear pajamas? And he's like, yeah, they're all black.
Like, they're all black and okay. It's normal, actually.
And then he asks you what pajamas you wear, and I'm like, Grim, I'm a 29-year-old woman. I don't want to answer this question.
Let's be real. I haven't owned actual pajamas in a very long time. We're going big shirt, little shorts, and we're happy about it.
Big t-shirt is my best friend.
Truly, yes. And I think that Grim would still appreciate that because it's real. But maybe that's would. Like just me being a little bit delusional. Who's to say? This game has made me delusional. That's the tagline here. I've gone full delusional over this fictional man. Shocking.
Though in his edginess, he does have a moment, I think it's the third day, where you log on to talk to him. Obviously, you're excited. And his name is like, he's like gotten rid of his name and his picture is black. And it's like, don't talk to me. Of course your character's like, I'm gonna talk to you, idiot. And so you talk to him and he's like, I told you not to talk to me. I'm like, I'm obsessed with you.
But also it's so clear, like it's like when you used to, I mean, I didn't do it, but there were a lot of people that did post those Facebook statuses being like, having a really rough time. And then people were like, are you okay? It's like, I don't want to talk about it. Yes, you do. You absolutely want to talk about it. Being online, but having your screen, like your avatar be all a black image and still responding, you want to talk. He wants to talk. He's just being a little bit silly about it.
Yes. And then because you call him and he's like, why'd you call me? But he doesn't have his screen on either. It's just like black screen. And he says he's hurt. And the way my heart sunk, I was like, terrified, because I was like, oh my god, who hurt him? But at the same time I was like, oh my god, yes, I get to see him all like bloody and bruised.
It's so interesting how that has become more of a thing now, because I remember in the early days of Baldur's Gate 3 there were all of these like thirst edits of Astarion, which was always going to happen, but like the bulk of those thirst edits for almost all of the characters were when they were like a little bit bruised up, bloodied up, getting a little bit like more rough around the edges, and everyone was going wild for it. And I mean, I get it, but it's also fascinating to see that that's now a thing, because yeah, I had the exact same reaction when he was like, oh, I'm hurt. I'm like, turn the camera on maybe. Yes,
I'm begging. And then he's like, it's actually in my brain. I'm like, oh,
it's fine, I'll still help, but also it would have been good to see. It's fine.
Yes.
Not that I want him to be wounded by any means. I would literally rather die than have this character be hurt in that kind of way. But also, if he was, it would still be hot.
And I think, like, he's just very, he's very millennial.
Yes.
In the way he kind of uses the internet. And it's interesting because I see it now with even younger, like Gen Alpha using the internet. They have the same, like, kind of shaky baby steps on the internet and trying to communicate in a way that I guess is like normal despite it being an online space. So seeing him do the same is really, really funny to me.
I also think that it's very telling, like even in the very early on days, I think it's in the first day, you call him out for typing with like title case.
Yes.
And you're like, why are you doing that, my guy? And even though at so early on in the piece, he's still trying so hard to be like, no, I'm stealing your soul and you can't do anything about it. I'm an edgy Grim Reaper. He immediately is like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. And you can tell that he's embarrassed because all of a sudden he starts like typing completely in lowercase. It's like, well, that's not quite right either, but it's better. And like him learning to use emojis as you go along the course of the game. And as he kind of settles in and feels a bit more familiar with that kind of like interaction. You say it's a little bit millennial. I do also feel like it kind of is a really fun representation of what it would be like for like vampires who are like 400 years old to be using the internet as well. Because they're like, we know like the concepts of the internet, but the actual like the chronically online amongst us know that there is kind of that etiquette and there is that way of doing it that makes you feel very organic and casual. And then there's the boomers on Facebook who type like a very specific way as well. And I think him kind of learning that is also another kind of bonding moment for your characters as well, because you are essentially teaching him and bringing him into a space, even though he technically brought you into the space and forced you there by this malware situation. So it's quite an interesting dynamic, I think.
I think it's funny also, and this is a big spoiler for the end of the game, but when you find out that he's been there your whole life, and despite him, I guess, trying to kill you your whole life, but in a way getting to know you, and it's almost like a, not to sound weird, but like a parent child way where like you've got all of this knowledge, like you know the unwritten rules of the internet, right, and how to communicate on social media, and he's, you know, he's just been watching from afar, like he doesn't know, like even though he's been here, it's not his space.
It's different. Yeah, I think it's so interesting because that again is one of those tropes where I was like, if this was real life, I would be running for the hills.
Yes.
But in this context it feels different. And I mean, I've read so many like critiques of books where they've been like, oh, it's only because the main guy's hot that you're okay with this kind of behavior. It's like, well, yeah, in this case, yeah. Honestly, the way that it's structured and the way that it works and the way that he looks and talks to you excuses a lot of sins that would absolutely never fly in the real world. And that is probably the biggest one.
This game didn't really come into my scope until I was specifically looking for visual novels on Steam, like romance visual novels. Like I hadn't really heard about it because I guess like my community didn't overlap with 2.5 Studios community, right?
Yeah.
So it's, I guess it's really important, right, to kind of spread the word that way.
The thing is, I'm honestly surprised that I hadn't played it before this. Like I said, I had it in my Steam library for the longest time and I just never got around to it because I had too many other games on my plate. And then when you told me, I went into it and I looked at it on Steam. It is really well received. Like, it is overwhelmingly positive when it comes to reviews. I have a couple of review comments that I would like to share with you from when I had a look at it. And this was these are things that I'd noticed before playing that sold me into playing the game, aside from your, I'm not going to call it begging, but like a step above. It was an intense, you need to do this, please. Just saying.
And I was right, but.
Yeah, you were right.
Please share your findings with us, Steph.
Okay, so I have 6 very short, sharp Steam review comments for A Date with Death that sold me into it. Are you ready? Number 1, I wish men were real.
Stop.
And I was like, okay, I'm intrigued. Let's continue. Yep. 2, Bully the Grim Reaper Simulator, 10 out of 10.
Correct.
Also true. 3,
simply correct.
I need him in a way that's concerning to feminism. I understand. I get it now. 4, and this is kind of lending itself to something that I said earlier, still had a better time dating a 2D fictional character than most men in real life. 11 out of 10.
2D guys are the way.
2D guys are, you know, they got something. They got something special.
I've been saying this.
Yeah. And they typically won't hurt you. They won't do anything wrong unless you click the wrong answer, and that's on you. The final two are my favorite. So number five, he's not just a baby girl. He's the baby girl.
Okay. This game has got me saying baby girl, everything is baby girl. Steph will know this because she has to listen to me just say it all the time. I'm like, oh my God, he's so baby girl. He's so, like, everything is baby girl now, and I will not stop. And every time I say it, I think of Grimm and I am happy.
It's also worth noting that, like, this is something that's referenced in game as well. Like, you can yes. call him baby girl to his beautiful 2D face. And I did. The final Steam review, and I'm not going to do it as it realistically I think was intended, but I am going to give you the full description here. Now, I want you to envision all caps, woof, woof, bark, 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 arf, woof, arf, and then just keyboard mashing because somebody is clearly just like barking at this game so intensely that it's like, yeah.
That truly was my experience. Like, finishing this game, I was feral. I was like the, you know, the meme of just like girls when they X, and it's like someone going like absolutely feral, like ripping up shit with their mouth. Like, that was me. I was like, I should be like locked in a jail cell for like 24 to 48 hours. I need you to know that after playing this game, I had to be like forcibly reintegrated into human society. And I hated every moment of it, but I'm back, and I'm excited because there's more coming. Do you have anything to add about the game?
I mean, I think the thing with A Date with Death is I can't believe I slept on it as long as I did, because it was so genuine. And I don't use the word genuine very much nowadays when I'm talking about games, unless it really, really means it, because I know that it can be one of those buzzwords. But the dialogue felt so real and authentic to the way that I would be interacting. It felt kind of like somebody had like sliced into my brain in the little section that's like, flirt with people by being a little bit sarcastic and mean, and then just whacked it onto the screen. And it was the exact way that I would do that. And there are so many times where I've played similar games that are designed to have that kind of sassy, sarcastic interaction. And I was like, it's not quite the way that I do it. This was literally exactly how I flirt with people and exactly how I have that kind of interaction, to a degree that it was almost like I felt seen in a kind of am I being watched kind of way. And I mean, it's nice to feel seen. It's good to feel seen. Being perceived by people who have made a game that I was almost a year late to is crazy. And I think the thing for me as like a takeaway is I can't believe how good a free 6-hour game is. And it's Australian made. And I am so impressed by what has come out from all of this. And I think if you haven't played it yet and you've listened to all of this, even with all the spoilers, genuinely, I cannot recommend it enough, because there are so many layers and so many lines and so many ways that you can have this conversation that it just, you have to do it for yourself to really get the full like feet kicking, giggling to yourself, blushing hard, goosebumps down your arms kind of experience with it.
There are so many spoilers we haven't even touched on either. Like, there are, like, the moments we've touched on are good, but there are truly great moments in this game that I think you need to experience. It's free. It's 6 hours long. Come on, people.
So worth it. And I mean, without giving things away and by not spoiling the remaining things, it gets more supernatural, it gets more introspective, it gets really kind of philosophical in a way, especially because there's some parallels going on with other elements of the game. There's extra romance. You don't always stay in the chat simulator, And it just, it builds in a way that feels so organic. And I am so, so in love with this game. It's like, there isn't anything wrong with this game, as far as I'm concerned. There was a couple of typos, and I looked past it because I was like, I pretend I do not see it, because this game and the feeling that it imbued me with was so genuinely exciting and fun that I was like, I don't care if there's like I'd care if there was like a game-ending glitch or something. But aside from that, I'd be like, it's forgivable because I love it.
Truly. So the DLC for A Date with Death is called Beyond a Bet. It comes out in December this year. We don't have a specific date yet, but you can wishlist it on Steam. So you have plenty of time to go and play through the base game before it releases. And then you can, there are extra spicy scenes in the Beyond the Bet DLC that the developers have teased. So I'm really excited.
Well, I will say, like, when I was going through those comments, and I checked today to see if there were more comments in the reviews, there was an overwhelming amount of people being like, sex? Can we add the sex to the game? I want the sex on the game, please. And like, these are people who are not even going anonymous. They are full chest out with who they are, and they're like, this is what I want. And I respect that. I do. I mean, this game made somebody bark into their keyboard. That's all you need to know.
People just want to woohoo. I get it.
And I'm people.
Steph, thank you so much for coming and chatting with me about our baby girl, Grim, and A Date with Death. It's A Date with Death by 2.5 Studios, and you can get it on Steam or on their Patreon for free on PC. Get it.
Hey there, Gianni here on the latest episode of Lightmap Sifter's interview podcast. I speak to the designers of Valve's Steam Deck and find out how the handheld has changed the way gamers play.
We did run some numbers a while back about like how like the time split between like your PC and your Steam Deck. And we saw something like 40% of people who got a Steam Deck ended up spending more time on their Steam Deck playing PC games than on their desktop, which we thought was kind of interesting. So it's like the reason we wanted to make a Steam Deck was to make customers happy, give them more ways to play their PC games in the way that they want to. And we found that it's been sticky. Like people have found that the Steam Deck has been giving them more reasons, more ways to play games in different places. And that's a success in our minds.
You can get every episode of Lightmap for free on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on YouTube, or head to our website, sifter.com.au. You're listening to Drop Rate by Sifter. Visit us on sifter.com.au.
That's A Date with Death from 2.5 Studios. You can pick it up on Steam or 2.5 Studios website for free on PC right now. This has been Drop Rate by Sifter, our video game review podcast. Thanks to Brian Fairbanks from Salty Dog Sounds for composing the theme music. Sifter is produced by Courtney Smith, Chris Button, Fiona Bartholomeus, Daniel Ang, and Adam Christou. Mitch Lowe is senior producer, and Gianni Di Giovanni is our executive producer. Steph, where can listeners find you on the internet and check out some of your work?
Well, if you're looking to check out some of my work, you can find it at gameshub.com. And that is also on socials if you spell it out completely, gameshub, D-O-T-C-O-M. And if you're looking for me specifically, you can find me at Steph Panicassio on pretty much everything, spelt like window pane Casio watch, for people who are just listening and haven't seen my name written down. It's phonetic, but it's tricky. So yeah, at Steph Panicassio. You can usually find me on Instagram and Twitter most of the time. Well, X, whatever the hell it is, most of the time, talking a little bit of shit and waxing lyrical about games like this. So come join and give Games Hub a little bit of love as well.
Gamma Shub.
Gamma Shub deserves the love, please.
That's all for this week. You can check out what Sifter is up to on socials at SifterHQ on Twitter or Instagram. Or hop into the Sifter Discord and have a yarn with the team about what you're playing at the moment. at sifter.com.au/discord. Yatta.
That was fun.
It was fun.